Welcome to the Travelling Senorita, episode 197. Today I'm going to do a recap on Byron Bay Blues Fest that I was at on the weekend. It was such a great event and it had everything. It had rain, it had sunshine, it had beautiful moon, it had such a good vibe. But all through it, it was all about the blues, and the rain just added a little bit of, real blues, muddy vibes at times, and then the sun shone, and it was just such a great event. Just prior to the festival, unfortunately, Splendor had announced that it won't be going ahead this year after it had announced what I thought was quite an epic lineup, with the likes of Kylie Minogue and Arctic Monkeys, but they didn't sell their quota in the first month of releasing. I think it's something like you should have sold 70% and they're at about 35%. So things are so tight and right down to the wire for festivals in Australia post-pandemic, and they had to call it and say they will not be going ahead this year. There is a lot of speculation as to what will be going on with Splendor into the future. I did hear one rumor at this stage that it may move to Queensland. Another reason for that would be the exorbitant costs that they incur from the police and the state to have security on site. There was word out there that it's three times the amount in New South Wales that they make you have sniffer dogs and police presence. So that's one of the costs that was really hurting Splendor, along with ticket sales not reaching the quota in that first month. So really sad to hear, and really sad for the Northern Rivers, because it's such an economical boost for the region, starting from like street food vendors to cleaners to local musicians right through. So it's a shame to hear that Splendor is at this stage not going ahead for 24 in its current state and current form. And it will be sad if it does go across the border, because Northern Rivers is known for its epic festivals, and you know, Falls fell last year. And yeah, we all got together and supported blues for Easter, because let's face it, that can't go. That is so iconic. It was the 35th Byron Bay Blues Festival, and it's got a really well groomed site now. Even with all that rain, the car park got a bit muddy, but the cracker dust that they've got throughout the festival, it just absorbed it, and it was no problems walking around after torrential rain and then sun. It was just such a great festival. Thursday, which is usually a bit of a locals night, that was I love it, because there's not many people around. I think everyone's preparing to get there for the Friday and taking time to get to the site. So a lot of locals head on down there and check out really good performers. The one that I loved on Thursday night, there was a few that were getting thrown around. Go and see one called Here Come the Mummies, and it's a funny group. This group, they're dressed as mummies, and it's sort of thought they're either claimed to be reincarnated Grammy-winning studio musicians, famous, or they could be just old school musos that have decided to dress up as mummies and take on the world. But as far as it goes, they are incredibly cool. They had such a funk to them, super tight, really good visuals, and really dancing the night away and kind of like funky vibes for the Here Comes the Mummies. And it's just a really visual splendor, so people were just raving about them from the first night that they start took off on Thursday night. It's an eight-piece funk rock band from the States, and they're saying they're 5,000-year-old Egyptian mummies with a one-track mind. So classic, and definitely one to look out for into the future. I kept seeing this band the whole time. It was like the universe was aligning me with Yurimol, who's a Northern Territory Indigenous musician with a fabulous band supporting him. And he had some great, you know, people, guests joining him along the way, from Demi Am to... I thought it was Bernard Fanning, but it wasn't Bernard Fanning. It was Darren Middleton, also from Powderfinger. And yeah, that was just such a great set. Each time I saw him and his band, they just got better and better. And the third time I saw them, I was like, you guys are just rocking it after days and days of performing. And they would always finish with Treaty, which just made the crowd go wild. And yeah, made you think, why? Why have we still not got Treaty in this country? So well done to Bluesfest for getting Yurimol on the bill. And as I said, they played every day and they just rocked it. Really incredible band. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Yothu Yindi, and I think there's bloodlines into Yothu Yindi and also of Garamal, and how, you know, the late Garamal and his performances mixed together with just a really tight rock band behind him. So make sure you look out for Yurimol. And then, you know, there was other, I can never pronounce his name, so do excuse me, but I used to love her in the 90s, one of those very first kind of like, oh, I don't know, electronic musicians that came to my mind. Michelle Nnengiel-Chalo, there you go, that's as good as it's going to get for me. She saw her a couple of her sets, just a real rock chick, contemporary style. I was lucky enough to see Matt Corby, and he came on playing keys and trialing some of his new stuff, so very melodic and really good lyrics that he's written. He's changing style a bit, I reckon, Matt Corby. As I looked out when Matt was playing, we were in the Crossroads tent. It was absolutely pissing down with rain, and I felt so cozy being in that tent. You know, the infrastructure of Bluesfest is just incredible. You don't get wet, and everybody had just joined the tent to watch Matt Corby, that then he did an absolutely incredible set that then followed with Jack Johnson. So Jack Johnson came back, and he'd been at Blues many times before, so it was great to see him, and he just rocked it out. He's such a casual rock star, but he's just so got such beautiful voice and such a talented musician. So he took it on the Friday night. I caught a bit of Dan Sultan along the way, and he's always great entertainer. Again, one of the country's finest Indigenous musicians. And there was old Tex Perkins bringing it with The Cruel Sea. So instrumental at the start, and then Tex just came on and was just, I don't know, he was channeling like the Michael Hutchins vibes and the 90s. And I had some young girls sitting standing next to me, and they're like, wow, who is this cat? Like, you know, what a spunk. And I'm like, yeah, this is what the 90s was all about. So Tex is absolutely rocking, and I'm sure he's in his late 50s, 60s, and he was just bringing it. I saw the Blind Boys of Alabama. They are always so good to see at Blues Fest, and they jump off the stage and go through the crowd and immerse themselves. That's just such that really rustic blues vibe. Ben Harper was, you know, he's been at Blues many times, and he just brought it again and was incredibly popular that particular set. 1920, they're fantastic. I don't know if they get much of a rap, but every time I've seen them, I'm like, wow, they're high energy. And yeah, their lads have been whipping up a frenzy on the festival scene for a fairly long time. They got that kind of bass bluesy grass rocking band, and yeah, they're a really cool Australian band. 1920, not to be mistaken for 1927, so watch out for 1920, because they are such a great live band. Also caught Caravana Sun, which are Sydney Siders, and they've been around since 2011. They just get tighter and tighter. They've got that kind of like reggae sun ska kind of vibe to them. All good mates, and they've toured with the likes of UB40, Cat Empire, Fat Freddy's Drop, and yeah, they've performed they performed at Blues at 2022 and just stole the show with over 10,000 people in attendance for their gigs. So they brought them back for 24, and they were just as popular and yeah, just as engaging with the crowd. So that was cool. Dirty Honey was a new one that I hadn't heard about before. LA Quartet, they were great. Elvis Costello, you know, I mean, it's just incredible, the lineup. Ian Moss, Mossy bought it. You know, it was just, I think it's one of those things that you see Ian Moss and then the next day you see Jimmy Barnes and he brings on the stage Bernard Fanning and one of the guys from the Teskey Brothers. It's just incredible. LAB, or Lab, as you call them, they're so tight. I really love their vibe. They did a couple of great covers as well. And yeah, just iconic New Zealand band that were rocking it. Lisa Hunt, one of our local favourites. She was doing the disco soul. Newton Faulkner, the Pierce Brothers, Playing for Change are always good fun. Portugal the Man, that was they got some great tracks, even if you didn't know who they were. When you get there, you're like, oh, I remember that one. So they did a really good set. And yeah, it just goes on and on, really. Who else have we got here? We had that's right, Hussey Kicks, the local girls. They just rocked it, and they were often seen popping up in other bands along the way. I love that about blues. When you go backstage, everyone's just having a chat, all the musos, and they're tuning their guitars and having a little bit of a yarn, and then next thing you notice, somebody pops up on somebody else's set. And that's the thing about the Blues Fest, you can see musicians just interacting, getting along. And yeah, well done to Peter Noble and his team for providing that platform, and it's been going for 35 years, and it's just, yeah, it's got to stay. Blues Festival cannot leave. If I hear that Byron Bay Blues Festival leaves where it is now or no longer continues, then I would honestly say that festivals are dead in Australia, and they're certainly not at this stage. Sad to hear about Splendour, as I said, but Byron Bay Blues Festival was, to me, as good as it's ever been. It was busy on Friday, quiet Thursday, a bit quieter again on Saturday, but still a big enough crowd of just music enthusiasts, fantastic food stalls. And yeah, shout out to my mate, Trish from Senorita's food truck. She just rocked it, made thousands and thousands of meals and served the masses, and, you know, costumed up with the little Mexican cantina. That was so much fun. And shout out to Brown Dog backstage too, doing all the filming and interviews with Love Street. And yeah, that was just, it's that collaboration of artists working together that is the vibe of Byron Bay Blues Fest. So that's my little run around of Blues Fest this year. Another year gone, another Easter down. And yeah, I hope into the future we can continue to support live music in Australia. Adios.